Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We are a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday morning worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Good morning. You know, I came in this morning, and I do know what I was going to preach, but I changed. You know, God does that sometimes. And I have something else I want to share with you today. So it's not the long one that I was intentionally. So come back tonight, though. It'll be a nice long one tonight, because that's what I'm going to preach tonight, okay? So, Chris, you don't have anything that I've got here, brother, but I got one verse, really. It's all I'm going to teach from today. I know it. I've got it right here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, will you say it with me? That he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. He loves you kids, and he loves you older folks, and he loves me. You know, he loves us. It overwhelms me sometimes just when I think about that. I could leave it with that, couldn't I? I could just say, well, you know, that's enough. We'll leave it with that. God loves us, and let's go home. But you would be so disappointed if that were the case. And I say this. I believe there may be some here today that may have a hard time believing that God loves you. You know, that maybe stuff in your past you struggle with, and you think there's no way that God can really love me. You may be saying, you don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things that I have been involved in. You don't know what I did last night. You don't even know what I'm thinking right now. And I'm telling you that God loves you. Despite all of that, God loves you. This passage of Scripture is probably the most recited passage of all the Scriptures in the Bible. It was the very first one that I ever memorized. I can't even remember when it was. And I memorized the King James Version because that was the one that meant the most to me at the time. 25 words. 25 words with such impact. Such impact on so many lives. John 3:16 is the greatest summary of God's love of all the words in the Bible. The topic of God's love is an overwhelming subject, and it's difficult to just try to tackle it in one message. There's so much the Bible has to say about God's love and what His love looks like and what it means and how it's expressed. But it's compacted in this one particular passage. A.W. Tozer once said this, "I can no more do justice to this awesome and wonder-filled topic than a child can grasp a star. Still, by reaching toward the star, the child may call attention to it and even indicate the direction one must look to see it. And so I stretch my heart toward the high, shining love of God so that we may be encouraged to look up and have hope." So this morning, I just encourage us to stretch our hearts towards heaven and bring our attentions toward His shining love. So we're going to examine some truths about this passage, 7 actually. And you're thinking, I thought you said this wouldn't be long. But it'll go quickly. The first truth is the love of God is unconditional. Amen? For God so loved the world. The Greek word for world is cosmos. And it's defined as the ungodly multitude that's all around us. That's what he's talking about in essence. And therefore hostile to the cause of God. The world is hostile to the cause of God. And this is the world that God loved. He doesn't say that God loved the good people in the world. He didn't say God loved the Christians in the world. He didn't say I love the saints in the world. He didn't say I love the Jews in the world. He said I love the whole world. All the world. All the murderers and the rapists and the sick people that's in the world. He said I love them all. Crazy, right? For God so loved the world. I can understand God loving the good world, the good people, me. you know what I mean. Right, Sherry? You shouldn't laugh at that. I could understand God loving people like that. But He loved the whole world. He loved the people that wouldn't even recognize Him. In John 1, 10 and 11, it said, He was in the world, listen to me, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not recognize Him. He wasn't even recognized by the ones that He loved. Not only did He love the world, that openly hated Him. John 15, 18 said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. You're in good company, folks, if the people around you hate you. If the worldlings around you hate you, don't be frustrated. Don't be angry. I asked the question, would you love someone that hated you? Do you have a hard time loving people that hate you? Honestly, don't you have a hard time loving people that hate you? I mean, really hate you. People that would like to kill you. There are people in the world, if had the opportunity, they'd come in this place right now and kill as many as they could. We've seen it over and over again. Can you love them? Can you love them? I've said it so often. Love, friends, is not a feeling. It's not something that you got down in your gut, not some gushy thing that you may have. I hear people all the time say, oh, I'm so in love. I feel this way. And you've heard me tell you, you may have a bad case of gas, and that's maybe all it is. Love is something that you do, something that you respond to. It's an action that you take. It's not how you feel. I tell young couples that all the time before they take their vows of marriage. And listen to me, friends, you young people, there's going to be days that one that your knees are just buckling over. You're going to have some feelings about them. Some of them may be homicidal, okay? It was asked of Ruth Graham. Is that Billy Graham's wife? It was asked of her, you know, hey, did you ever think of leaving your husband? Did you ever think of divorce? She said, divorce, never. Homicide a few times. You've got to choose to love them. You've got to choose to love them. God's love is not based on our spiritual condition or our moral conduct. It's not based on our behavior or our attitude toward Him. We can see here that God's love is universal and it's unconditional. You've heard me say this before, a good illustration of an unconditional love, and I've used it before, but for some of you that haven't been here, you take your wife and you take your dog and put them both in the trunk of your car. You leave them in there for half a day. Leave them in there for half a day. Tell me which one will still love you when you open the trunk. The doggy will wag his tail. The wife is going to wag the tire iron. Friends, He loves everybody, and this is the thing that sets Him apart from every other religion in the world. Every other belief in God is based on works. The true God of the universe is unique from all other belief systems, and it's because of His grace, not because of your accomplishments. Buddhists, they follow this eightfold path of enlightenment. It's not a free ride for them. Hindus, they believe in karma, that your actions are a continual effect on the way that the world is going to treat you. That there's nothing that comes to you that can't be set in motion by some action that you take. The Jews live by a strict code of laws.
But can't find God's grace in any of them. Their devotion is to following the law, not to God Himself. The God of Islam is a God of judgment, not of love. And you've got to live your life doing good, and hoping one day that you'll receive paradise. God's love is free, friends. There's no charge to it. There's no strings attached. God's love is unconditional. It's been said there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing that you can do to make God love you less. Not you. Now, I'm going to talk about sin later, but not you. The love of God is sacrificial. This is the second point. It says that He gave. Another translation of the Bible states, "For this is how He loved the world, that He gave." That He gave. How did God love us? He loves us by giving. He loves us by giving, by serving, and by sacrificing. And this is important to know, to understand the nature of God. Most of us understand loving others when other people do things nice for us. When Kim makes me a nice supper and stuff, I think, well, my wife really loves me, you know? Then it's how we respond, because somebody has done something, they must really love me. When people help us, it's easy to love people like that. When people make us feel good. But God shows that true love has nothing to do with what you can do for me, but everything that I can do for you. That's what He's saying. So what are the results of God's sacrificial love? If you that are here that deal with an accounting, you can imagine this. Any accountants in here? One accountant in the old bunch. You have a great job, Erica. Heaven, there's kind of like a set of books, okay? There's a set of books with all the accounts of our lives in them. And we're told that one day those books are going to be open. We know that in Revelation. Read Revelation 19. And I can imagine my name, Steve Grissom, in one of those books, and God adding up the sum of my indebtedness. That's what He's doing. All the things that are against me. And I could never cancel out that overwhelming indebtedness. But I can imagine God taking His pen and transferring the sum total of my indebtedness to the account of Jesus. My account has been transferred to Him. And what's amazing about it, Erica, is there's nothing righteous about me, but He's taken Jesus' righteousness and transferred it on the books to my name. Is that not amazing? Second Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's sacrificial love. Number three, the love of God is valuable. His only begotten Son. You think about this, parents. Here we see the value of God's love for us. Not only was He willing to give, but we see here that He's willing to give the only thing He has. The only Son He has. I think about that a lot, thinking about my children. I love you guys. Honestly, I could not give my son for you, though. Not my daughter. I would die for you. But to give you my son, do you see the value, how it's much greater than even myself? When you give someone out of your abundance, that's one thing. But when you give someone something out of your poverty or what you have the least of, that's something different. And you think about it, if you got several cars, you got a person got several cars, and you know somebody in the church or in the community that needs a car. Okay, you go up to them and say, hey, I got a car I'll give you. I'll give you my car. Here, you can have it. You can have it. And I'll be honest with you, most likely the car that you give them, it's probably not your best car, okay? It's not the one that you keep shined up in the garage. It's the one that you've been thinking about donating to public radio. You know, that car. That's the one that you're thinking about getting rid of already. And you say, you can have that car because you already know the transmission's slipping on it a little bit. But you give them that one. See, there's a difference in giving in that way. But if you've got one car, If you got one car, the one you just bought, Cody, if that was the only one you had and you knew someone that needed it and you said, here, take my car. Now that's different, isn't it? And that's what God has done with His Son. He gave His only Son.
God didn't have a backup son, friends. He didn't have a spare. But God loved us so much that He gave His only Son. God's love is shown to us by the sacrifice that He made in giving the only one He had. The thing that was of the greatest value to Him is what He gave up. And I think about, what is it that we have? What is the greatest value that we have? Is it our money? Is it our possessions? Is it our family? Is it our time? All these things that you'd be willing to give away to prove to another person that you love them? Or are they too valuable to you to simply release? Number four, God's love is personable. God's love is not merely some abstract concept. It isn't just a philosophy or a theological construct. God's love is made manifest in this world through the person of Jesus, His only Son. Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal to us the love of God in human form, in the flesh. Child was once quoted John 3:16 from the King James Version, and instead of saying His only begotten Son, he said His only forgotten Son. A slip of the tongue, but carries a lot of truth, friends. Most people in this world today would say that Jesus is forgotten. His life is forgotten. His love is forgotten. His sacrifice is forgotten. What happened on the cross is forgotten. And one of the things that we're going to do today as we share the communion table together is so that we not forget. We not forget. And I'm going to teach a message about it tonight, about what this table really means. Joe was a drunk. He was a drunk that was miraculously converted on a street outreach mission. And before his conversion, he'd gained the reputation as a derelict and a dirty wino. For there was no hope. No one had hope for Joe. But following his conversion to Christ, everything changed. He went down to the homeless shelter. He stayed there among the homeless. He helped feed them. And when they came in and when they were drunk and they were stinking and they were vomit infested, he cleaned them up, he clothed them, he helped them in the bed, and he was there for their every need. And as the preacher was there one day, he was preaching about people coming to the Lord, and there was a man that came up, and he says, I want to be like Joe. And he said, don't you mean that you want to be like Jesus? And the man says, well, that may be so if Jesus is like Joe. And I say this to you, friends, because people may not know Christ, but as they see you, they should see Jesus in your life. They should see the love of Jesus in everything that you do. God's love is personable. One hand, because it was made manifest through the person of Jesus, but also personable because it's bestowed on you and I as a person. Fifth reason, God's love is accessible, that whosoever believeth in Him. It's accessible to you and I today. It's great news. His love is not just limited to just a few people. It's not just available to those of a certain color or of a certain race. It's not limited to people that live on a certain part of the world. It's not given to those that have a certain intellectual understanding. Not only the educated or the elite, not only those, but whoever believes. That's it. That's all you need to do. I voted for a lot of politicians in my lifetime. Oh, here he goes now. He's going to get into politics. Now, you know better than that. Each one that I voted for said that they were concerned about Steve Grissom's well-being. Every one of them. Steve, I'm accessible to you. If you need anything, I'm here for you. You elect me, Steve. I'm going to be here for you. You just let me know what you need. And I'll guarantee you, if I ride up to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and knock on the door, they will not let me in. Even though he may have said that I have access, I really don't. But I'm telling you right now, friends, you've got access to the Father because you have it through the Son, Jesus Christ. All you got to do is turn to Him. He will listen to you. He will respond to you. He made himself accessible. He called ordinary people to follow Him. He gave them the words of life. Ordinary people just like you and me. Just nobodies. I've got access to the King of Kings. Does that overwhelm you when you think about it? I wonder how accessible we are to people that are around us. People that are in need. Are we accessible to them? Or do we keep to ourselves because we don't want to be accessible? I know we say we are, but do we really make ourselves available to people that are hurting, people that are in need, people that have trouble? Are we accessible? Are we available? I'm asking you that question this morning. Or are we like the president and you knock on your door, you just look behind the curtain and say, not that one. And people do that to preachers too, friends. It was funny. When I first started preaching, I was going to see everybody, I think, and I went to somebody's house and I saw that curtain open and they went right back when they saw who it was. Number six, God's love is non-judgmental. God's goal in sending His Son from heaven to earth was not to condemn you or to show you how bad you are or how unworthy you are or how hopeless you are. That was not His purpose. It was not His purpose. God's only desire in sending His Son was to show you His love and to draw you to a relationship with Him. That's why He did that. In John 3:17, we always know John 3:17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Jesus didn't come to rebuke you, friends, but to rescue you. He didn't come to criticize you, but to cleanse you. He didn't come to punish you. He didn't come to destroy you. He came to deliver you and me. And it doesn't mean that God's not a God of judgment, though, beloved. Don't think that. And you hear this in the world today. Oh, my God loves. He would never send anyone to hell. He would never do. Oh, please, friends, listen to me. There's a huge difference between recognizing right and wrong and being judgmental. There's right and wrong, and there's judgmental. Judgmental means that I'm judging you based on myself. I have a judgmental attitude. It's not a matter of what true judgment is. Being judgmental means that I have a critical spirit that only looks at the bad in people and not seeing anything else. God, on the other hand, will judge us for our sins and even sentence us to hell, but only as a last resort. It is your choice, friends, whether or not you choose heaven or hell. It's not God's. You choose Him or you reject Him. That's your choice. Another way of looking at this is that God doesn't send us to hell. We're basically choosing Satan over God. We're choosing sin over righteousness. Number seven, God's love is beneficial, but have everlasting life, it says. More than 50 years ago, John Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, a young sociology professor assigned a class the project of interviewing 200 city youth residing in the downtown slum areas. And he asked them to go in there and make a prediction. And after the extensive study, the students predicted that 90% of the people that were in there, the youth that were in there, would serve in prison.
25 years later, this professor contacted his students and had them reach out to all of these people that they had made contact with and found out if what they said was true. Come to find out, there was only 16 of the kids that actually went to prison. And the rest of them lived fairly normal lives, and they wanted to find out what made the difference. And they found out that there was one lady in the community that they respected and they loved. And so they looked her up in her 70s. They found her. And they said, "What was so special about you that these children changed their life and they didn't follow the predicted path?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. All I did was just love them kids. I just loved them kids." Can you imagine the influence that you can have on a person that you may not think much of, someone that you yourself may think may not amount to anything, if you just spend some time and love on them? Show them the love that Jesus has shown to you. There's power in love, friends. If that's the result of being loved by an imperfect person, can you imagine the result of being loved by a mighty and perfect God? Let me ask you to recite this verse again this morning. I want you to just listen and feel each word. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I've shared this message with you this morning, the shorter message, with just 25 words. And I left out a fact about Nicodemus. And he came to ask Jesus a question, and Jesus told him, "Nicodemus, you got to be born again." Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus meant, but there would come a day that Nicodemus would understand, because Nicodemus was born again. I've shared this morning, the fact that God loves you and He loves me. There's something that separates us from God, friends. There's something that separates us if we're not willing to acknowledge that, and that's sin. And you may be here this morning thinking that I'm not such a bad sinner, Steve. I sin some, there's no doubt about it. But who doesn't? That wouldn't keep me out of heaven, preacher. I've shared a detailed explanation about how God loves the sinner. But let me be clear about this, friends. God does not love sin. He loves the sinner, but He does not love sin. And sin will keep us from God if we don't accept His Son, Jesus Christ. Even a little sin will keep us from heaven if you don't ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of those sins. When I was a boy, I'd seen kids that couldn't play basketball. They'd stand at the free throw line, and you know, you've seen them with the ball, and they're throwing it underhanded, right? Missing the whole thing. Missing it all. And the kids on the side over there, they're laughing at them and thinking, this kid has no talent. He's nothing. And then they get up there and then they bounce it a little bit and they get the just right stance and they shoot and it hits the rim or it hits the backboard and it still doesn't go in. But what I'm saying is no matter what, how big or how far you miss it by, if you don't make it in the hoop, you've still missed the point. You've missed it, period. I don't care how good you think you look, you've still missed the point. And that's what the word sin means, is missing the point. Missing the mark. If you have a Campbell's soup can, if you had a can of Campbell's soup and you put just a little bit of poison in it, would you drink it? Just a little bit. It can't ruin the whole can it? Beloved, it can. One little bit of poison in it will ruin it all. One sin will ruin it all for you. But I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus has taken that away. All we've got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe that He died and took the sin. He purchased it. He redeemed you. And if you'll just believe that, you will be saved. The Father, in His great love, executed His own Son, but first placed every sin of of every man and woman and child on this planet on Him. All the sins that you have committed in the past, all that you commit today, and all the ones that you'll commit in the future, He placed on His Son Jesus. He paid the penalty. You cannot. I said in the beginning of the message that you may be here this morning believing that God can't never love you. And it's true, it's not because of what you've done or how good you think you are. But it's because of what His boy did at Calvary. Truth is, God loved you before the price was ever paid. He loved you so much, He sent His Son. You got a decision to make today, beloved. Believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. Simple enough. Believe means to change your life, turning away from the sin of your life, turning away from the lifestyle that you've been living. Now I'm going to be honest with you. You should consider the cost. You should consider the cost. But you should also consider the cost of saying no. I want to look a little farther past this passage of Scripture and describes the great love of the Father in John 3:18. It's a beautiful section. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Don't stand condemned here this morning, friends. Believe and be saved. Do you want to be saved? I'm just going to close with this. I just want you to bow your heads. I don't normally do this. We're going to have this time of communion and I'm going to talk about it just a bit. But I just want to give you an opportunity because I want everybody in this room to share at this table. And the sharing of this table is for God's family, the Lord's family. And I'm not asking you to even just examine things about your life and see whether or not you're worthy to partake in this table. That's a topic for tonight. And I'll just give you a brief statement in that, is that, beloved, none of you are worthy to come and partake of this table if that's what you're thinking. It's the manner in which you come that's what He's talking about here. But what I'm asking of you this morning, if you're not saved, do you want to be saved? I want every head to be bowed. Every head bowed. If you are here today and you want to be saved, I just want you to slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. If you're not certain of your salvation, I just want you to do that one thing. Praise the Lord. I'll say this. If you want the opportunity to give your life to Jesus like you never have, even if you are saved, to truly surrender your life so you can be that example to the people around you, so that you can be the one that Jesus would even look at and say that you are like my beloved Son. I want to give you the opportunity to come this morning and pray and surrender your life completely. Don't leave here with a doubt in your mind. Not a doubt in your mind.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.